Welcome to another episode of Books, Beauty, and Business, where our goal is to inspire, motivate, and encourage others through laughter, accountability, success stories, and most importantly, easy steps for achieving greatness. My name is Tawny Bro, and I am so excited to have with us today Suzanne Carpenter. She is a certified nutritional consultant, the CEO and founder of Carpenter 180, which is a nutritional education company. Their mission is to provide affordable and simple programs that clear up food confusion so people can win at losing weight. She's created classes like SOS, Sue's on Your Shoulder, Babysit My Plate, and the Food Peace University. They're three different virtual bite-sized nutrition courses. They are designed to teach you what you need to know to create sustainable results. She is amazing. Let's jump to our story.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I am so excited to have with us Susan Carpenter, who goes by Sue. Right? Suze. Yep. I love it. S-U-Z. Suze. I love it. So thank you so much for joining us today. I love your story. I don't know anyone that doesn't think about fitness in their life and food and how, you know, how it affects us. And it's always something, especially as females, we are always trying to figure out what do we do? So we're so excited to have you here to share your tips and your knowledge with us. So Suze, tell me a little bit about your story.
Sure. Okay. So by trade, I clear up food confusion because really we have a serious problem, kind of like you were talking about. And it's women especially are suffering because they're frustrated and confused by what it takes to lose weight. Mm-hmm. I developed an online program. It's called SOS or Sue's on Your Shoulder, just to help people understand how to eat so they can get their weight where they want it and they don't have to suffer anymore and they just enjoy how they're living. So at home though, I'm a mom of four and I've been married 24 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And then we live just north of Atlanta, just to give you a geographic area of where we are. And then I promise you, after all these years of being a mom and a wife, I still, at least once a quarter, can turn laundry pink. It's just epic over here. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm always ruining the laundry. But I got into this space kind of by accident. Once upon a time, I taught first grade. Then I did this deal where I came home and I raised our kids. Then we took a 40% pay cut because of all the twisty, turny things that happen in life. Mm-hmm. I jumped into direct sales. I got my entrepreneur chops about me. Mm-hmm. I was fitting people to products, but they were wanting to eat barbecue and yeast rolls and still get results. And I was like, we have a problem. So I got into the sweet spot of helping them with the kitchen. Like, I got to clear up the food part if we're ever going to make some real change. And then this happened. Somebody says to me, hey, you say you would die for your kids, but would you change for them? And I was like, I don't like that question. Because I had a secret that I was holding on to my whole life. Like, I didn't even tell my husband, and that was that I had an eating disorder. And I was the meanest voice in my head. I was awful. And then I would starve myself and try and exercise to outrun my fork. Mm-hmm. And I got into abusing laxatives because I was trying to like find control where I felt out of control. And when I thought my girls were going to grow up to do what I was doing, I couldn't stand that idea. So long story short, I reached out, I got help, I got some information that I really needed and a lot of learning, and it explained some things to me that basically I couldn't hold in anymore. I was solving a problem for myself to role model for my girls, and then I realized the information that I, science that I learned, all the classes I had taken, when I taught first grade, I could take complex science and explain it to a first grader. I can do the same thing with nutrition and food. And I thought, man, there may not be a whole lot of women out there with an eating disorder like I had. Like, I was even 226 pounds with an eating disorder. I know having weight on your body. But I thought, there are a lot of women that are struggling, like 70% of America is overweight. There are a lot of people struggling that I could help if I can just teach them what we weren't taught in school that we should have been taught. And that was how my company was born. And I am on this podcast talking to you because I really want to give this away and help other people because I feel so much better.
Yes, that's an amazing story. And isn't it remarkable what we do for our children? Because yes. How someone pointed that out, like, would you want your daughter to go through this? And you're like, no, absolutely don't. and I absolutely don't, and I want to get a handle on this. And then it puts you in that cycle of, okay, we're going to make some changes here.
That's right. That's right. I was not willing to do it for myself, but to be authentic for them, I was. I was willing to take on the task.
So it almost gave me goosebumps when you said you didn't even tell your husband this, like you had an eating disorder that you were just like internalizing and like trying to figure it out. So, and then you were overweight. You said like you were just going, you had a disorder, but you were, you know, carrying extra weight and stuff. So what are some things you learned? Like what, I know you have your business now and you're teaching people how to, you know, eat better, but was there a point where you're like, this is the stuff because it works so well with you that I have to share?
Yes. And it's all based on science. Okay. Yes. Because let me set the tone. I'm going to tell you the two tipping points for me that I learned. But what I believe about anybody is you're probably already giving your life 100%, probably 102%. I was showing up doing the bad with the skills I had, and I'm still falling short and miserable. So it is hard when you are leaning all in, trying to do as good as you can. Imagine that there is a little bit more or a little bit better way of doing something. It's hard to see that there's a bridge you can cross where things are going to get easier. It doesn't make sense when you're already doing the best you can and you're still struggling. So I have a heart for people in that place.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. I did take the step because my way wasn't working. And when I sat in front of dietitians and nutritionalists and I started them, I learned about protein, fat, and rather than protein, fat, and carbohydrate. I learned the benefits of fiber, how it'll rev your metabolism. You have weight loss without hunger. I learned how those three nutrients together cut off all your eight of your hungry hormones. So you're not dealing with craving so much. So biology is actually helping to make this thing easier. So I learned about the food that fiber was actually going to rev my metabolism, kind of going to be the cardio. And that was huge to me. Because all of a sudden I started trusting, I'm going to have to feed myself, but if I feed myself protein, fat, and fiber, I'm going to rev my metabolism. I'm not going to be hungry. I've been hungry my whole life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to have better energy. Okay, that's worth trying. I'm going to, you know, like clearly they're educated. It's all science. I'm going to give it a try. Okay. The second thing I learned was exercise is not part of the weight loss equation for several reasons. The biggest one being is going to stimulate your appetite. Overestimate how many calories you burn. You underestimate how many calories, overestimate how many calories you eat, underestimate how many calories you burn. When I got clear on those two things, light bulb off, but it still was just the change for me. It just gave me to change it. But then it just came this point where I started hearing the clients that I was already working with struggling, and I started funneling this information toward them, and they started getting more results. They started to get in control of emotional eating and emotional overeating. They started to feel like they weren't on a diet, but they were starting a lifestyle. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take this working one-on-one deal, and I'm going to tease this out into something that is affordable, that doesn't take a lot of time, that a lot of people can get their hands on. Because we're really meant to know this information. Like I said, I've been taught this in high school. I mean, we just all should have had this already.
Yeah. That's funny that you say that, because that's one thing that I've talked about too. Some of the things that we really need in life, like basic nutrition and understanding what food does to your body and how it can affect you, no one hears that. And it's an epiphany when you're this at our age, like, oh, that's not good for me. That's not what my body should have in it. So I love that you took the science behind it, because that and kind of made it the lifestyle, because everyone's like, it's a lifestyle change. Don't do a diet. You know, you kind of hear that all the time, but it really is what you purchase, what's in your house is what you're going to eat. Like it's kind of the whole process of it.
And you need a mentor. Like you need that girlfriend that you like, that she's making it doable and not weird and not an obsession, but it just is, it's what we do. And you know, when you have to like overthink about something so overwhelming, it takes too much of your mental energy. We don't need any of that. We need somebody showing up going, okay, here's your next logical step. Here's your next logical step. And a mentor or somebody who's already been through it, who can shorten your learning curve, can get you results. whole lot faster. And what you just said is spot on, where I start with everybody is like, look, we're going to have to get the right groceries.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get that part solid right away. Here, let me help you with that. And then let me help you with what to put on your plate. And then what happens is after about, you know, a week or two, like I just got a text from my friend Jessica before we came on air. She's down in 12 days, 4 inches in her waist. And she's been struggling with her weight for years. And it was really that she needed the system, the steps, like here's going to get my results. And then pretty quick, we're going to start getting into the emotional eating, because that's a whole nother part of this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as a disordered eater, anybody can hand you a meal plan. Any trainer can help you with what to eat. You know, it's a calories in, calories out equation. But if you're over hungry and you're not this very long, that's why diets fail. Like, you're right. We have got to figure out a way that we can eat right now, today, that we like, where we're still able to eat the foods we love. You want to create a lifestyle that you can lose weight and maintain weight now that looks like it's going to look when you're 80. That's what we're trying to achieve. And so it is like a really big shift in thinking.
Yeah. And I think we all, well, maybe not everybody, I shouldn't say we all, but I know I do. I can be mindlessly doing something like on the phone or watching something and eating. And I look up and I'm like, did I just eat all that? Like, I eat it without even like really realizing I'm eating something. Or if I'm really stressed out, I'm like, yeah, like I'm the same way. I think a lot of people must be emotional eaters, because it's just that one thing that you can do, right? That you like maybe feel a little better, but really, do you feel better? Like,
that's right.
You really feel better? Just feel full. I don't know.
That's actually a thing, what you just described. You're really good at this, by the way. That's actually a thing. Emotionally eating is actually, do you know the difference between emotional hunger and physical hunger? So when you are emotional hunger is what you just described. You were bored. You were trying to feel useful. You're trying to use your time well or fill the time in. So it's like you had this problem, this feeling that wasn't ideal. Boredom, overwhelm, stress, anxiety. Mm-hmm. Being unsure about something, whatever the bad feeling is. Yeah. And your body solved the problem. It covered up the problem with food. So, mm-hmm. So while you were eating the food, you were getting these endorphins. So your body was saving your life. It was moving away from eating. You were feeling much better eating the food. But the problem with that is when the food's gone, you're left still with the problem. And mm-hmm. Now you have the regret and potentially you have an upset belly because you ate a whole bunch of stuff that didn't agree with you.
Yeah. And you probably gained some weight because
probably
crap. Yeah.
It probably wasn't food you super duper loved anyway, and you would have just as soon eaten.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am one that I have, you know, I've done wellness things and I've watched the food documentaries. I think that's a big part of just understanding where food comes from and the manufacturing that we have in the US and everything around what we're putting in our body. So I've spent time trying to educate myself, and like I feel like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm a good size, like I'm feeling good. And then like something will interrupt me, like this whole COVID thing. I zero motivation to do much of anything. I was regularly, like I did yoga every morning. That's how I started my day. I journal, yoga. I felt like, oh, I got this, girl, right? Throw something in my life like this. And I was like, I don't feel like it. And I know you can't listen to your feelings. You're never going to feel like it. I know. I talk to myself too, but I get it. But I just was like, I'm really excited to talk to you about this, because I do feel like you have to have something in place that can get you through those, you know, unexpected things that are going to happen to you. The vacation. I don't want to come back from vacation with 10 pounds. I just don't. You know, no. I work too hard to be this size, so I'm sure not going to do that, but I still want to have fun and, you know, not restrict everything I have to do. Say, I don't know the answer.
Well, you want to know what it is? It's really, okay, in every area of your life, would you agree you need to have compromise and discipline? Like relationships with waking up for work, you have to have compromise and discipline. Yep. So what about this? You know, in terms of your health, compromise and discipline to go to bed, maybe mm-hmm. compromise, I can't do this because I need to get on bed at this certain time, or there's discipline. Like you have to also in nutrition realize it's just the same thing. It's compromise and discipline. So it's not about going on vacation being what you love, because we love food. Food brings pleasures where we visit and we whatever. It's more about using compromise to go, okay, what do I really love that I'm about to be in front of? Like really super love. And then the rest of it, look at it more like, oh, I'm going to spend my carbs and calories somewhere else. It is not worth it to just be filling up on that. So yeah. For instance, I'm one of the four people in the world that doesn't really get triggered by macaroni and cheese. I don't really care. You know, like I'm like, there's only four of us. I know we have our own fan club over here. And so if we have like the macaroni and cheese on the buffet, I'm really stand, well, I don't want to waste my calories on that. But over there, that yeast roll that is covered deliciousness, I want some of that. I use compromise to the one that I want a lot and not eat something else just for the sake of eating it and putting it on my plate. Instead, I would fill my plate with mostly fiber and then some protein and some fat. And then I would have the thoughtful indulgence of the roll that I really want, skipping the macaroni and cheese and the coleslaw, because I don't really care about that. Like that's, we have not had enough thought leaders necessarily do that with food too. That's really how this thing is done. Apparently it looks like everybody else can get away with eating whatever they want, whenever they want, and they never gain weight. And that's just a lie. I mean, I can't do that. I mean, that's why 70% of America is overweight, is because of, we think that way. So it's really just changing the paradigm a little, realizing, I'm gonna have to exercise and discipline just like I do everywhere else in my life. Okay.
That's true. That's a really good way to look at it. I like that. Would you say compromise and discipline, right? Mm-hmm. So, because there are some things that I know, I mean, I compromise on all the time. And some of that is being disciplined. And sometimes I feel like I am very disciplined. And then other days I'm just like not an ounce. So I like the idea of where you want to compromise, so you still get to make those choices, right? Those good choices for you. Like, I'm going to not do this because I know later I'm going to do this, you know? You kind of did tell us your story, how you found your love of like health and really helping people, you know, get healthy themselves. Was this just a journey for you, or was this like you just had this experience and then this is what you wanted to share with the world?
Well, I think that it was because of the experience that it became what I wanted to share with the world. I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to stay home. I wanted, though, to add value. I always wanted to do something that was going to help others, but that's what I knew. I couldn't see it. And I never would have thought that it was going to come through this type of a messaging. Mm-hmm. But then what happened is I realized that I am just trying to have conversation with my younger self, and I'm trying to give her what she didn't, that she was looking for, because there's a lot of people like that out there. And so it just became this love letter to give back to the world. And once it started to come together in my mind, I couldn't not do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think that's amazing. And I love that. I love you said like my younger self, like helping in that way. I started in education as well. I taught second grade for about 7 years before I got my master's in IT and went a completely different direction. So I work in technology right now, but taking what you learned, like just in education in general, teaching people, right? Mm-hmm. Teaching people complex processes or ideas and simplifying them into their world, I think is so important, because you're right. It does need to be a simple, like easy thing to digest. Like what you were saying with the discipline and the compromise, like you can internalize that and be like, okay, I can direct that to my food and what I eat, right? I can do that. So taking these things and moving them forward, I think that's an amazing start, because so many people have questions around that. Or you know what? They're just clueless. They just don't have any idea.
Or, I mean, let's be real. They don't care. And I don't fault them for it. Like, if somebody was going to tell me to go figure out how to build a golf cart, I don't care. I wouldn't want to go do it. But maybe I want to drive a golf cart and have the joy that the golf cart can give me. I think people are like that in this space. To me, what I picture when somebody goes, I'm going to go on a diet, I'm going to lose this weight once and for all. I envision when we were studying for a big board exam or a test, remember all those books on your desk and you're trying to like funnel the information. Mm-hmm. It's so overwhelming. You take the test. Do you remember that feeling? You'd walk out of the test. It was like the information out of your ear.
We can all
kind of feel the information falling out of our ear. I think that's what it feels like for people to go try and solve the nutrition problem. It's that pile of books. What I listen to, what's important, there's a lot here. So what I did is then I went back to like how we teach third graders multiplication facts. You get your threes and your fours and you get really good at them. Then we start working on nines and tens. But oh, we're going to pull you back and do some threes and fours again. We're going to keep this until we get a real learning pattern going. Mm-hmm. That's what I did with the SOS. Because if I sat on here for an hour about nutrition, you're only going to remember, you know, the one on your head. It's just too much to take in. Mm-hmm. So instead, what I wanted to do was to give people bite-sized chunks mm-hmm. that they can like hear, apply, are practical, but you like listening to them. And then the next day it layers the message and you begin to learn. Right now, somebody might hear me talk and go, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So then the reason I did the sound bites is I know that people have time constraints. Like they don't have an hour thing, you know, and if I sat here for an hour and I talked about nutrition, you'd remember the one thing that tugged on your heart. Mm-hmm. That hour I don't have. The other thing is money. Like it can be expensive to work with somebody and meet with them once a week. So mm-hmm. I wanted to make this so that it took 3 to 4 a day, would look forward to the message, and it was short enough that you could go, and then to attach meaning to the message, but you could apply it. Meaning, we start talking about protein, fat, and fiber, and we start practicing where to find fiber, and these messages come sequentially so that you start the, I'm getting it, okay. Because you know when you get too overwhelmed, you stop before you ever start. And I could absolutely dump on somebody an hour of success tips to get going, but they're going to have information paralysis.
Yeah.
So I'm going the other direction of, let me come to you slow and steady so mm-hmm. that you really begin to create a knowledge groove and you get things that are so overwhelming so you can try things and we begin to make a whole new habit loop. And then we create a lifestyle because this thing's going to take time. I mean, we didn't get here overnight. We're going to get out of here overnight. So we really need to realize we do have time.
Mm-hmm.
We have time to build these learning lessons towards success. Because like my friend Jessica, I talked about, when's the last time you lost 4 inches in 12 days? But by these messages coming consistently and she was able to just start applying them and they weren't scary and overwhelmed. Her body's already starting to react and change. Mm-hmm. And she's been with it 12 days. I mean, think about that too. How many of us start something that gets so restrictive that after 4 or 5 days you blow it and you're having a cheat meal all weekend long because you can't stand it anymore? That's not how this thing works. We've got to figure out how to compromise and discipline, but pull in our food so we're not restricting so that we can dine out, enjoy exercise less. And have this lifestyle where we're still enjoying foods, but what's that we're looking for? It's not corn. We just didn't understand the benefits of protein, fat, and fiber at our meals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a fad. It's just about learning so you can create, truly create a lifestyle. And then what happens is when you're educated, you become empowered. Oh, I can do this. I'm feeling better. And then when you feel empowered, you're inspired. And this is the tipping point. When you're inspired, doing things different in your family and you're cooking different in your house because it's really making sense. And then you start telling your friends about it and it starts just wiggling its way out because it's making sense because it's based on science. It's not a fad. We can finally get away from that.
Yes. I totally agree with that too. It can't be the newest trend or the newest fad because you're right. You'll get started on something and then it gets hard or something comes up or halfway through it, you're like, oh, not worth it. I'm just going to do what I want. So I like that. Yeah. I like that it's in those stages. So,
well, instead of like all or nothing, you know, when you like step out of line, this is a whole thing about, we got to learn, just get back in line after you step out of line. It's no big deal. Just keep going.
Yeah. Like you can have one bad day, but don't have a bad week or a bad month, right? Like just get back into it.
or better better yet, what'll happen down the road is you might blow it at lunchtime. And instead of thinking, forget it, I'm going to Taco Bell for dinner and I'm eating all the things, you might go, I blew it. So what? Well, what's the next best choice I can make at my snack and at dinner? Because you realize it's not all or nothing. And you realize blowing it one meal is not going to make you gain 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Over. Instead, you're like, yeah, that was awesome. Sort of fell off the wagon. Okay, I'm going to get back at it. Mm-hmm. Like, it just totally means that once you're stepping into it and you practice failing forward and just doing it bad, perfect.
Yeah, I totally agree. You're right. Like, don't, if you have one bad meal, that's a good thing to remember. That's along with that, what discipline and like compromise, like, okay, I'm gonna get back on it now. So what keeps you motivated? Like, what, where do you look for your inspiration?
Okay, well, I look to mentors as well. I mean, mm-hmm. We all need somebody else showing us the way and role models. So like specifically, I really love people like John Maxwell or Brendan Burchard, who are helping you with mindset, because that's so much of it. Like, if you believe you can be successful at something, if you believe it, you're very likely to do it. So that's true in everywhere. So I definitely am a proponent of that. I like Brendan Burchard a lot because it's High Atomic Habits. Why did I just lose the title of his book?
I know Atomic Habits is James Clear, but like Habits Make Simple. Now I have to look it up.
Oh, what is it? It is. So Brendan Burchard. Anyway, I really appreciate him reinforcing what I'm trying to do with SOS. He's reinforcing the importance of creating habits to create success and attach to. But I love John. His book. Most impactful book was Failing Forward, because I realized failure was an event and you had to train for failing, and it was a lesson learned from it, and then you move forward. And that is such a powerful thing to understand. And again, a principle we should have been taught at a very fundamental age, that failure is not you. It's just something that happened, and it's something you learn from. It's not the bottom. It's not time to quit. It doesn't mean one and done. It's mm-hmm. just a habit. Mm-hmm.
I like that. And that was always one of my questions. Like, do you have a book to recommend? So I just wrote that down for you, Failing Forward. I think
what's your favorite book to recommend?
Oh, girl, I have so many good books.
It's a hard question.
Yeah, it is. I like Simon Sinek. I really love Mel Robbins. I feel like her 5-second rule is transformative for a lot of people. Yeah, I have a whole book.
Jump up and move.
Pardon?
You go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You yep. just do it.
Yep. So there's a book section on the website too, if you want to just look for good recommendations. But I will put the Failing Forward on your page too, which is your, with your book recommendation there too. So, okay. So Books, Beauty, and Business. What is your favorite beauty tip?
Oh, okay. Two. One is really practical. Get the makeup off at the end of the night. That was revolutionary for me. Wash your face. The other is baking soda on my toothbrush to keep my teeth white. That way I don't have to fool around with those whiteners or any of that baking
soda. Just straight on, like straight up baking soda in your mouth?
Straight up Arm & Hammer box, toothbrush in the Arm & Hammer box, a little bit of wet and a whole lot of that. And I do it probably once a month.
Okay. I'm up for it, man. I love I'm those kind of tips.
Doesn't taste 17 kinds of awesome, but I'm 47. They're not so bad.
Great tea. That's awesome. So any daily tips for success for the ladies? Like every day?
Every day. Every day, I have to start my time out in my journal being quiet and remembering what I'm all about. So I have to write down 10 things I'm ridiculously grateful for. And a lot of times it's thank you for the light bulbs and thank you for batteries, because those are extras that we can afford to purchase. And so what am I grateful for? And I get really stirred. I think if you can't feel mad or sad if you're mm-hmm. in gratitude. Yep. Then I go through and I list my 10 goals. Like, some of them are right now goals in that list. Some of them are long-term goals. Like, one of them is I'm an extraordinary wife. The other one is I'm close with my children. So those are long-term goals. So then I have like 10 mantras that I go through. So this journal time long, or it could be just 10, 10, and 10 and really fast. But if I go through like mantras of there's room for you, somebody wants you to bring your A game, decide what it is you need most and go do that. And I remind myself to show up to the day on purpose. I promise you, Tawny, every single night I forget those things. And every morning I go up to my journal, I'm like, oh, what? So I think we're always working to just keep our brain moving in the right direction for me.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I'm the same way. I think journaling and writing those things down, and sometimes they do get repetitive because the things you're grateful for, you seem to always be grateful for them. But I like that idea of your goals and then writing down, like call it a dream book or your goal book. But I think that's always a great way to start your day. And that's another thing that I encourage people to do. And then I find myself, like, I go through ebbs and flows of I do it every day without fail, or I don't do it at all. Like, I really, yes. I have to keep on top of myself to motivate myself, because I know I feel better when I work out. I know my mind is clear when I do a brain dump on Sunday. I know, like, I can have these things that I need to do. And it's almost like I have to be my own encourager sometimes, like, okay, you know, yes. No, now get up and do it, right?
Because you like having done those things. It doesn't mean necessarily on the front end you're excited about getting to do them, but once you've done it, mm-hmm. You love having done it. You love the feeling of having worked out. But it requires you showing up. That is, I agree with you 200%.
Yes. Yes. So any additional motivation or advice for the ladies listening?
Okay. Whatever it is on your heart, that is, today is a really good day to start. Whatever thing needs to change in your life, I believe everybody's got something in their head that they're thinking, tomorrow I've got to do that. Today's a really good day to start. Don't have to wait to get started on exercise for tomorrow. You can go for a walk, or you can do a 10-minute class today. If you're thinking, I've got to turn around, start today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Just get started. But you have full permission to do things bad, perfect, to fail forward, but just keep showing up because it's worth it. Because consistency compounds. Small efforts over time lead to tremendous change, but it means you've just got to start.
That's right. You just get started. I absolutely love it. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Suze. This has been a lot of fun, and I feel like I've learned a lot too, and I know you have a ton of stuff that you can share as well. So if you would like to learn more about the Carpenter 180, all the information will be below, along with links to all of your Facebook, social media, and things like that too. So go ahead.
I do have a freebie for your audience. If they use BBB in the checkout code, if they go to carpenter180.com, you can sign up for 10 days of free SOS, just to see if it's a fit. You can get my grocery, but then get all my lists and my snack tips, all the things. Just try it out. But at checkout, put BBB in the coupon code, and then I'm going to send you, like, really practical good stuff. At the grocery store, like the Kroger's and the Publix. But then if you go to Costco, here's a list that I stick to. Or if you go to Trader Joe's. So I did some things. You don't have to stand in the store going, what would be good to get? Because that's overwhelming. So just put BBB in the code. And that's coming.
Oh, that's so exciting. I can't wait. And so I'll have that information below as well, with a link to your site. So thank you so much for sharing that. It was a pleasure to have you on today. I know the audio with the whole world working on Zoom today is a little up and down, but I really think you shared a lot of great information. And so thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.